Walking with God in 2024, part 8. So I want to give more attention regarding walking with God, walking in the Spirit, and we're going to do this in the book of Galatians. The majority of our text will come from the book of Galatians. So I wanted to conclude our series. I think this is the last of Walking with God in 2024. Understanding this, that God has made it possible for us to walk with Him through revelation. Through revelation and obedience. So God reveals Himself. Man then takes a hold of that and walks with God. We see that all throughout the scriptures, starting with Enoch, with Abraham, God appeared to him with Noah, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God appeared to Abraham and said, walk before me and be perfect. It's our everyday privilege and moment by moment decision led by the Spirit to walk with God. I say that again. It's our everyday privilege and moment by moment decision led by the Spirit to walk with God. And so I want to go through some scriptures, starting in Galatians 3 and 13, where we read, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing, now he did that, he hung on that tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Why is that important? Well, because when Jesus was here in his earthly ministry, he did not come to the Gentiles. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And if you'd have run up to Jesus in that day, he would have said to you, no, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, a couple Gentiles broke through. Syrophoenician woman, the centurion who had great faith, Jesus said. But Jesus was here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so the Jew first and after them the Gentile. But it was always in God's eternal purpose to include the Gentiles. Unbeknownst to Israel at the time, to include the Gentiles in the salvation that he would bring to Israel. So Paul tells the Galatians here that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So as we walk with God and as we travel through these scriptures, what we're going to see is an emphasis on the Spirit. That's why I underlined and bolded this. God started this whole thing. We didn't. You being saved, our being saved, didn't start with us. It started with God. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. God did this. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God started this thing. Amen. And what he starts, he gonna finish. And our salvation started in God before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah, by his Spirit. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He chose us Gentiles to be adopted as sons and daughters before the foundation of the world. That is a profound thought and so comforting to us that God chose us not because of us, but in spite of us. He chose us because of his Son, what his Son accomplished on Calvary. Galatians chapter 4, verses starting in verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, now God chose us in Abraham that we might be his. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Glory to God. So when Jesus told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, he told that to the Jews, to his disciples. They stayed there and the Spirit came and filled them. God sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Jesus said, when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So it says here, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. If you will, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit represented in that one verse. God the Father sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So since God adopted us through Christ's death and sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, we are no longer slaves of our flesh to live after the flesh. We have the Spirit of our Father in our hearts, crying out for His will and purpose in our lives, not the will of the flesh. Imagine that. The Spirit of God is in us, crying out to God for His purpose. It's His Spirit in us that causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. It wasn't our doing, this was God's doing. And why do we magnify God? Because when we realize what He has done, when we realize what we call Him Father. Jesus said when He began to ascend, He told the two women who came to see, He says, go and tell my disciples that I'm sending to you, to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. The reason why we call Him Father is because Jesus told us to call Him Father, because He has made us an heir of God through His own death, burial, and resurrection. So we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, we cry that because of the Spirit of God that is within us. And so we seek to do His will and to accomplish His purpose because of the Spirit of God. That's why the Scriptures teach us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that affirms or bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, the Bible says, do not grieve Him. Do not grieve Him. And well put and aptly said. Why? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, we read, therefore putting away lying. That's one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit. Putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Now, remember, this is in Ephesians chapter 4, and I said a couple sermons ago about Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, that Paul reveals to us God Himself and His purposes and His ways, and then he tells us how to react to that revelation. And he's continuing here in chapter 4. He says, therefore, what is that therefore? When you read the prior verse, he says, we were recreated in the image of God. We have the image of God, that image that we fell from in sin, God has now established through Christ His Son. And because we've been created in righteousness and true holiness, He says, because of that, therefore, put away lying. So He lists some things that we're not to give ourselves to as believers. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't remain angry or pent up anger in your life towards someone else, especially your brethren. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who steal. Oh, you mean believers aren't supposed, we're not supposed to steal? Exactly. Why? That grieves the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our salvation. Ephesians 1 tells us. The Holy Spirit, He's the guarantee. The Holy Spirit who has been given to us by our Father, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of adoption, whereby we know that we are sons and daughters of God. Don't grieve Him. Paul says, by stealing, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. He continues, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, of all the ones that Paul say not to do, this is the easiest one to do. Is to open up our mouth and say something we ain't got no business saying. He says, no, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, Ephesians 1, for the day of redemption. He continues, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I heard one woman who said, I mean, Christians, this one woman who calls herself a Christian, she said, she prays that President Biden's days would be few. I was like, wow, that's in other words, that he would pass on, you know, and get on off the scene. I'm like, wow, no, we don't do that. We don't pray that over anybody. Look, I've been to death up close. You don't want that for anybody. No, you don't. You know, bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. People say they want that for Donald Trump. No, you don't. Politics aside, you don't want to pray. You don't wish death on anybody. On anybody. All of that's in God's hands anyhow. Right? And the moment we take it into ours, we're in trouble. We'll get to that later. And this is what Paul says. And be kind to one another. Here's what the Holy Spirit loves. Here's what invites the Holy Spirit. Doesn't grieve him. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. In my devotional reading this morning, while they were putting Jesus on the cross, Jesus looked down on them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're supposed to be Christ-like. All right. Galatians 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now, Paul says. It is now. It was in his day, and it is in our day. Those who are born according to the flesh persecute those who are born according to the spirit. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So here we see Paul is speaking of those born according to the Spirit, which are true believers, being persecuted by those born according to the flesh. As you know, the book of Galatians, Paul had people, teachers, coming to the Galatians and teaching them that they need to be circumcised and keep the law. And those, they were trying to bring the children of the Galatians out of the spirit and under the flesh as they would attempt to keep the law and come back under the law. And Paul was rejecting that. There are those in his day that taught that. There are those in our day today who would have us trust in the works of our own flesh to keep the law or gain the approval of God. Whenever we seek to gain the approval of God outside of Christ, then we're at odds with the gospel of God, right? Anyone who would have you trust in anything but the Lord Jesus for salvation is not of the Spirit. Is not of the Spirit. Because Paul says, for we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. This is what constitutes the believer, the Spirit of God working in us, the righteousness of God by faith. And we're differentiated by nothing but that. There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no male or female, bond or Scythian, black, white. It does none of those. We're differentiated by nothing but by the Spirit of God working righteousness in us through faith. All right. So we're still talking about walking with God. I'm trying to get there. I need to go through all this to get there. So Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit was the foundation for what Paul was going to tell them to walk in. And we've been talking about walking with God in 2024. We can't walk with God minus the Spirit. We cannot walk with God without the Spirit of God. Paul says that we're to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And are we going to walk with God this year? Well, Paul's remedy is simple. Let the one who started it all lead you. Let the one who started it all. God started all this with the revelation of himself by revealing himself to us through his Son. And he's given us his Holy Spirit that constantly affirms the Spirit and the Word agree in one, 1 John. The Spirit is constantly affirming the Word of God to us, confirming the Word of God to us. So we follow his lead. Yield to the dictates of the Spirit. This is how we walk with God. Yield to the dictates of the Spirit and not the flesh. Why? Well, Romans, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, because, brother, we are debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. That's why we're going to walk in the Spirit and walk with God. We are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. In other words, we owe the flesh nothing. We owe the flesh nothing. Not only that, Paul goes on and says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Why? Because the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience because how they're living, which is the works of the flesh. He says, and if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, and each one of us has the Spirit. Hallelujah. Each one of us has the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Why we owe our devotion to God by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Here he comes again with more revelation. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, you received the spirit of adoption. That's why we call him. That's why when we pray, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're always calling on our Father. And we want to do the Father's will because we are his children, and our very breath depends on our Father who is in heaven. Every day, every relationship, every circumstance is overseen by our Father who are in heaven. So the spirit of adoption causes us to cry out, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That means the Holy Spirit is always telling you and I, you are a daughter, you are a son of the Most High God. That's what matters, saints. That's what matters. And that causes us to walk with a holy God. The Spirit of God within us constantly cries out to God, who is our Heavenly Father. Only he can satisfy the born-again human spirit that is made after the image of God. Our spirits desire the Spirit of God. Our flesh, or old nature, desires sin. Right. And so Paul continues in Galatians chapter 5, and he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things, that word practice means perform repeatedly or habitually, differing from a single act. Paul says those who practice such things, those who perform repeatedly or habitually these things, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that accords to Romans chapter 8 when he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Paul's telling the Galatians that if you live this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot live a lifestyle of habitual sin and enter the kingdom of God, Paul says. Now, why do we say habitual and not a single act? And just to make sure we understand the differentiation. Well, a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he committed fornication or adultery. You remember Paul says, it's been reported to me that there's been sin among you that I haven't even heard among the Gentiles, that a man would have his father's wife. Paul says, it's been reported to me that someone among you, this was a Christian man, who had a sexual relationship with his father's wife. What Paul did, he urged the church to seek repentance, forgiveness, and restoration of the sinning brother. In other words, it was a single act. Paul sought repentance on the man's part, forgiveness on the church's part, and restoration of this brother after he'd been forgiven. But Paul would not have sought that if this brother was repeatedly sinning and continually. Why? Because that would indicate that this man is not saved. Because Christ has changed us, our nature. He's giving us a new nature. And this new nature is not given habitually to sin, 1 John. Amen. It's what the scriptures teach. And Paul teaches that a believer cannot sin habitually and inherit the kingdom of God. A believer can give in to temptation, to murder, or adultery, a one-time act. Well, we have laws against murder, but we don't have laws against adultery. So you can murder someone, but you'll probably only do it once, you're going to jail. But adultery, a believer can fall to that temptation and be restored. But a believer cannot live a life of unrepented adultery or, say, theft. Right? And thefts go on a whole lot more than adultery does. I know we Christians pin things on sexual sin more than others, but I'm telling you what, it's not that way. It's a lot of thieving going on by people who name the name of Christ. The New International Version of Galatians 5:19 reads this way: the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Imagine that, fits of rage. Venting out their anger, selfish ambition. They want everything for themselves. Sexual sin listed first, but that's not the only thing. Witchcraft, dissensions, factions. In other words, the body's one, but factions break it up and causes people to be against one another. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these habitual works characterize a person who is not living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If a person is constantly giving themselves, habitually giving themselves to these works, they are not part of the kingdom of God. Well, if they are, they won't be. The works of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit of God. You cannot live in the works of the flesh and expect to be a child of the Spirit. The two are contrary to one another. Therefore, those who practice such things will not take part in the kingdom of God. Why are works so important? Because Paul says here the works of the flesh. Why are works so important? Well, Works prove what spirit you are of. Works prove what spirit you are of. Look at this. 1 John chapter 3. John tells his followers, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Notice he was of the wicked one and he did an act. He did a work. But the work came from his spirit. The work came from what he was. He was of the wicked one and he murdered his brother. That's why the Bible says no murderer has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. That's 1 John 3. He was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The reason Cain murdered his brother was because he was of the wicked one, under the influence of the wicked one. And so the works tell us of what spirit we are of. Also, there's this in Titus chapter 1. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. You mean a person can profess to know Jesus Christ and their works deny him? Yes. Which is more important, what they profess or their works? I'm telling you right now, it's their works. You ever heard that saying, if a person shows you who they are, believe them? Huh? If I don't care what you say, well, I'm looking at what you're doing. And if your works say one thing, but your mouth say another, I'm going to believe the works. Why? Because that's what Paul said. He told Titus, there are people who profess to know God. Yes, they use words like, oh, I'm blessed and all the grace and this, that, and the other. But in works, they deny God. They deny God. We look no farther than the chief priests who crucified Jesus. Do you remember and do you understand that God was the one who put Aaron in the priesthood? He set his favor on the priesthood by letting them come near to him. Once a year, they could go into the high place, to the holiest of holy, and be in the presence of God. Only the priests could do that. Yet when Jesus came, it was the chief priests who were plotting a way to murder Jesus. On the one hand, they said, oh, we be Abraham's seed. But what did they do? What were their works? They murdered the Son of God. Oh, yeah. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. And Paul is saying here, that there are people who profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, any saint can sin. You remember, Peter denied Jesus. Remember that? Peter denied Jesus. But he denied Jesus one time. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that man slept with his father's wife one time. But then he repented. They forgave him and restored the brother to the fellowship. Peter never denied Jesus again. Now, if Peter had made it a habitual thing that he was always denying Jesus, well, then we could ask the question, does he really know Jesus? No, he never did it again. Let's move on. Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, or put to death the flesh, with its passions and desires. That's what we have done and what we are constantly doing on a day-by-day basis, is putting to death the desires, the passions of the flesh. And Paul says this in crucial verse, in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Or, If we have been made alive by the Spirit, God first, there it is. If we live, if we've been made alive by the Spirit, let us then also choose to live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. God has made us alive. Let us choose then the ways of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit. Let us abide in the vine, as if you would, as Jesus said in John 15. Abide in the vine and let the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's some trees, some people know trees because of the tree. I don't. I'm not a botanist. I don't know much. The way I know a tree is by the fruit. Say, what tree is that? Come in a few months. I see an orange pop or an apple or a pear. What a tree. Because trees keep, they hide stuff on the inside. We don't know what's on the inside of the tree till it comes out in the way of fruit. And then we can see it, right? A tree is known by its fruit because we can see the fruit. Well, people are known by their fruit too. And Paul is saying for the Christian, bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, etc. Well, why is that important? That we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Well, because if we're living by the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to be evident in our lives. And that's important because Jesus said this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Before that, he said, the works of the flesh, or what you see the flesh doing. And so we'll see that we will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You say, well, yeah, Jesus speaking of false prophets. We don't have to worry. Well, in Galatians 2:4, Paul was talking about false brethren. False brethren. Do you know that there are false brethren out there? People who say they're Christians. People who say they believe in Jesus. But they don't. How do you know? By their works. By their fruit. If a person professes to be a Christian, but habitually lives like a heathen, they are a heathen. They will show you who they are. Believe them. Believe them. Paul says to us, if we have been made alive by the Spirit, let us also choose to walk with God by the Spirit. Walking with God in 2024, this is what it looks like. This is how it comes about. By letting the Spirit lead us and by choosing daily, moment by moment, to walk in the Spirit and to please God. Amen? Any questions or comments on the teaching? All right. Thank you. And my prayer is, as we will pray in a moment, that God will equip all of us to choose him, has equipped all of us to choose him each and every day, and that we will do so as we continue to walk with God by the Spirit that he's given unto us. Father, now we commit ourselves to you, Lord, your word and your way, Lord, that you would have your way in our lives, that by your Spirit, Lord, we would choose you because you've chosen us. Lord, that we might walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. Lord, may we be made strong by your grace. Lord, and know, O God, that it is your power and your strength that causes us to overcome in all things. We understand that in the world we will have tribulation, but we are to be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people
say, Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't see you Tuesday. We'll see you next Sunday. Right in this same place. All right.
Amen. Okay. Peace the Lord.
God bless.
Bless you now.
God bless. God bless. God.